I'd like to start this morning with a single scripture to get our attention, and we really won't make a lot of comments about this first scripture at this time, but I would like for you to keep it in your mind as we proceed this morning. It's from Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, and verse 5. And it says, "If thou hast run with the footmen, and they wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, and they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" I'm going to put that in my own words this morning. I feel like that it's hard for us to understand what this word, the swelling of Jordan, so I'm going to give you my thoughts on it. It says, if in the time of peace and just running with the footmen, you get wearied and tired, how will you bear the harder things? So that's my thought out of that particular scripture. And we'll try to come back to it a little bit later. I would like for you to consider, first of all, the sufferings of Christ. And we're not going to turn and read all of the scriptures. We're familiar with them. As we speak of the sufferings of Christ, you will know where the scriptures are found. The scripture says that he was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. That was part of the suffering of Christ. He was despised and rejected of men. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was wounded and bruised. He endured humiliation and shame. He was mocked and he was reviled. He was falsely accused and treated as a criminal. That's just a little bit of the sufferings of Christ. So now I would like to give you some scripture. John 15 and 20. And then I'm going to give John 16 and 1 and 2 and 4. I want to connect all of those verses together. Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." The first verse of chapter 16 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." And that word offended there is also, in the reference on it, means You will not fall away. "The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them." End right there. The next scripture I want to incorporate with this thought of Christ's suffering, I want us to keep it in our mind that the servant is not greater than his Lord. That what is done to the Lord, or to the Lord, Christ, it can be done to us. 1 Peter 2, verses 21 through 23. "For hereunto were ye called." The reference on that says, this is the life to which you have been called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Verse 22, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." In verse 23, "who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he was threatened, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Christ, in these words that we have read in your hearing this morning, he has tried to prepare his people. It is good for us to be prepared in our mind and not have a shock just simply cause us to fall as soon as it would happen to us. I'm thinking about the Sunday school lesson this morning also, that we have an understanding of the coming of the Lord, and it is called the judgment shock many times because it will be a shock to many people when the Lord breaks through the eastern sky and the sound of the trumpet and time will be no more and this earth will be burned up. That's going to be a shock. Well, he also wanted to prepare his people in their mind that those things that are coming on the earth will not be a shock to us. I've given you just a very few scriptures, and yet I believe what he wants us to do is to not be afraid of the future, not be fearful, not be living in fear, but to be aware and to be informed that these things could happen. We have said this so many times down through the years. Others have said it. We've been a blessed people. We still are a blessed people. To this day, we're still blessed. We're not living in the kind of fear and the kind of violence that is occurring in other countries. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful for that. We're still free to come and worship the Lord, and I'm very thankful for that. But there could come a time, and I believe the Lord, as the Lord was bringing these thoughts to my mind, I was saying to myself, Lord, I trust this is not prophecy of the future. I trust that it's just a message to make us awake and alert, and that it's not necessarily what maybe even the next generation will be facing. So I believe that God is wanting his people to have an understanding of possibilities. Not necessarily saying this is going to happen, but Jesus said it could. It could happen. What they did to me, they can do to you also. What Jesus wanted to also bear in our mind was he wanted us to consider the concept of a soldier. And so what did he say? He said, for you and me to endure hardness as a good soldier. So we get a picture in our mind of how a soldier must be trained. I haven't been in a training field for a soldier. We only have a very limited idea of what soldiers go through in order to be trained to go out on a battlefield. But they have to be hardened to a degree. They have to go through things to toughen their muscles, their endurance, their they have to almost be brainwashed. I'm not saying we need to be brainwashed about this, but I'm telling you that that is part of their training of going out and facing death and being willing to face death for the freedom of our country. So that's all part of that endurance, enduring hardness as a good soldier. And when I looked at the word of endurance, I wanted to give you the meaning of it. It says to bear up under, to stand firm, to put up with, to continue to be, to last or hold out, to suffer without yielding. I like that definition the best. To suffer without yielding. So the scripture has a number of scripture that will tell us what to endure. It will say, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He that endureth affliction he that endureth chastening, he that endureth all things for the elect's sake, and he that endureth contradiction. We're in a time of contradiction, contradiction to the Word of God. Are we still going to believe the truth and the Word of God in spite of maybe the whole world believes otherwise? Are we going to be one of those that will endure contradiction? The next scriptures that I want to give to you is a mixture of two chapters in 1 Peter. And I've written it down in the order that I would like to read it. It's from 1 Peter 2, 19 and 20. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. So the fourth chapter in verse 1, we'll start out with that scripture. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though something happened, some strange thing happened unto you. Chapter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, this is pleasing in the sight of God, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now I'm going to go to the fourth chapter and read the remaining verses from the fourth chapter, starting at verse 13. And it says, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Stop right there for just a little bit. There is many different kinds of sufferings, if you will. As Sister Lenita was giving in the request for one that had committed an atrocious crime of taking another person's life and then taking their own life. There is suffering not only in the families that are left behind, but the scripture here is saying for you and me not to suffer as a murderer, not to suffer the reproach as a murderer, or the reproach as a thief. Don't suffer the kind of things that you can keep from doing. In other words, don't be known as a busybody in other men's matters. Don't suffer the reproach of others' judgments of how you behave or how you react or how you're dealing with mankind or your fellow man. Those kind of sufferings, you've earned those sufferings. You've deserved the punishment, whatever it is. But it says, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, have we really had to suffer very much as a Christian? We haven't. We may bear a few things, but we're still in the favor. We're still able to say that we're living in we have a quiet and a peaceful life in our country. But there is sufferings for Christ. There are other countries that they give their life unless they recant. We mentioned some of this in the message. In the last message we were ministering here, we mentioned the song of the 29 soldiers for Christ, how that if they would have recanted, they would have had a warm place. As it was, they were put out on a frozen lake, stripped of their clothing, and they were to have the slow death of freezing to death. And yet there was one that decided he would recant. He would go to the building where he could save his life. And then the guard who had been watching them, he stripped his own clothes and went and took his place. And there were still the 29 soldiers for Christ. Those are stories that we hear about. We read about the martyrs and how that all they had to do is just give up, naming the name of Christ, denouncing their salvation, or if it was the word of God that they had in their home, and all of these kind of things caused them to either give their life at the stake or in horrible ways. And yet there were those that did give up, and there were those that would never give up. And I look at our lives today in the country that we're living in. We are soft. We've had it so good and so easy. I'm afraid that there is a scripture that says that he wants to wear out the saints of the Most High God. We're not facing the firing squad. We're not facing the den of lions. We're not facing the fire. We're not facing the firing, flames, so to speak. All of these things, we've just lived a very comfortable life. Today we will leave here. We will go to our homes. We will no doubt sit down to a very good meal. We will be able to relax the rest of the day. We're not thinking of giving our life for the gospel or for the sake of Christ. We're not thinking about that. But I believe that the Lord is wanting to awaken us and let us be ready in case. Yes. In case it should come to the place that, would you do it? Or would you say, oh, that's too hard. I want to save my life. The scripture tells us that if we save our life, we'll lose it. But if we lose our life for Christ's sake, we'll save it. Lord, help us to get a hold of Christ's suffering. Are we willing to suffer as he did? If you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. We mustn't be ashamed of our salvation, of our profession, of what we're standing for, what we're believing. It's being contested today. Our laws are changing. And will we be able to speak up and say, I'm one of those that believe the word of God? I'm one of those. We mustn't suffer and be ashamed. Let him glorify God on his behalf. Verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You know, we've heard that scripture all of our life. And we have believed that the preached word that we have heard over the pulpits down through our hearing down through our life, that it was the truth. It was right. It was the judgments of God, and we believed it and we stood on it. And this is where it begins oftentimes. And it says here, it must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18 is a familiar scripture, and it says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. What does that mean? That means that the righteous has a chance of not being saved. You can give it up. You can denounce it. When the pressure is on, when the laws become so tight, and maybe even our imaginations begin to run as it will, and we wonder what will happen if this happens. Oh, I want to tell you, we need to get established. We need to get strengthened. We need to get settled. Settled in what? The truth. The truth of God's word. We need to believe it. We need to practice it. We need to embrace it. It needs to be in our heart. It needs to be fixed in our mind. It needs to be our life. Because if it's not, we'll give it in. We'll give in. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly appear? And then verse 19, and finishing up that reading, it says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verse 39, do you know what He said? Resist not evil. He said, if they, let's turn and read it, Matthew 5. In verse 39, several things here that the Lord said, Jesus said, He said, don't resist evil. Whosoever smite thee on the right cheek, what should we do? It's not easy. Turn to him your other cheek. That's part of the sufferings of Christ, to not retaliate. What did Christ do? The scripture tells us, and we're going to read that scripture, that he did not answer a word when he was being tried. It said that he did not, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Those kind of things seem so difficult when we've had it so easy. When we've been in a land of peace. And the scripture says, when you run with the footman, and that gets you weary, how will you be able to take the hard things? I was thinking of some of this scripture over in, let's turn and read it. It's in the Song of Solomon. It's the 2nd chapter and verse 15. Something familiar here. It says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. The little things that we can't seem to hardly bear. When we say things like, somebody, they didn't speak to me at church, and so that hurt me. That gave me a trial. When we run with the footmen, how can we contend with horses? In the time of peace, how can I bear the harder things if I allow the little foxes to spoil my vine? Just petty things. When someone's personality rubs you wrong, does that ever happen? Is that a trial? Does that give you a real battle? When somebody's personality rubs you wrong? What if you're just simply misunderstood and misjudged? Does that give you a battle? Did you know the enemy is wanting to wear you down with little things? When we're possibly facing some big things, we need to be stronger, see, in these little things than to prepare us for the big things. We don't know the future. God knows the future. He knows what's out there, and I believe He is wanting us to be aware of the possibilities and to be prepared. Well, what if somebody just doesn't appreciate you and all that you do and doesn't show appreciation? Does that sort of prey on your mind sometimes? Does the enemy use that to make a mountain out of a molehill? Or what if I don't get my way? The enemy is trying to work to discourage and weaken the people of God. The Lord is calling for you and me to go forward, to go to higher ground, to dig down, to go to deeper depths, to allow the little things. There is a scripture that the Lord spoke to me one time when I was in a battle. And looking back now, and in light of these scriptures, in light of how the Lord has been dealing with my heart, I found that it was petty. And the Lord spoke to me. I woke up with it all on my mind. And He said, "Why will you not take wrong? Just take wrong." You know, we can want to defend ourselves. We can want to make sure that others know how I feel. And the Lord is just saying, just take the wrong. Let me bear it for you. I fell on my knees at that moment, and I repented for having allowed such a little thing affect me. A petty trial. Over in Acts, closing, the apostles, this is out of the 5th chapter of Acts, the apostles had been imprisoned. They had been taken before the council. They were commanded that they were not to speak in His name. And they were beaten. When they were released, they went straight to the synagogue and they continued preaching in the name of Jesus. They were called up again. And they were commanded once again and also beaten again. But do you know what they did? It said that they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame in His name. Lord, help us that we will count it a blessing to suffer the shame of Christ. We've been counted a Christian nation. I'm glad that we've been counted a Christian nation. In my growing up, and it seemed as though that there was It was almost popular to be a Christian for a long time. People spoke about Christ. They spoke about God. They spoke about salvation. They spoke about the life of Christ openly. For a number of years there, it seemed as though. But that's tightening down. Christians are going to be the target. Lord, help us. I want to count it worthy to suffer for his namesake. Paul also said in one place that's familiar, he said that he took pleasure in reproaches and in persecution for Christ's sake. So these little things can spoil us for the bigger things that are coming. Does anyone have a comment or a thought? Jesus suffered for us, and we may have to suffer and give our life for him. But let's not let the little things take us down. Let's let the Lord and his Spirit prepare us for what is in the future. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't allow the enemy to wear us down. He knows his time is short. Satan knows his time is short, and he is working to hinder the people of God. Recognize those places that he's trying to come in and just affect your mind, affect your emotions, affect your spirit. Watch for those kind of things. In the Sunday school lesson, it was brought out as we look for the day coming, said watch and pray. If ever there is a time that you and I need to be watching and praying, it is now. Don't allow the enemy to take advantage of your mind. Anyone have a comment? What are some of the little things, you don't have to say, but what are some of the little things that the enemy would like to make big in your life that's really not as important as what these things are to suffer for the Lord? Lord, help us. Pray for me. I feel like the enemy is really trying to hinder the work of God. Amen.